The reading is taken from Romans 8, verses 31 to 39. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, not neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
So, Regan and Amelia, would you like to pop up the front here and then I can pray for you? So, gracious Lord, we thank you for Regan and for Amelia. Thank you for the word that you've laid on their hearts. Thank you for their love for prison ministry. And we pray now, Lord, that as they speak, that we might capture something of their passion and love for those that are in prison. Lord God, would you move our hearts? Would you soften them? Would you unstop our ears that we might hear your voice to us this morning? Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, brother.
Good morning. I'd like to begin with an apology. I'm sorry if there's not much movement and I don't move around too much this morning. I was at the noise yesterday and the body's still aching. So my name is Regan. I am a priest in my second year of curacy at St. Stephen's in Soundwell. I'm here with Amelia, who is a member of our congregation, and who I will invite up to speak in a few minutes. I would like to begin by saying thank you for this opportunity to speak to you about prison ministry. I have been a part of prison work for a few years now, and it is something that I hold close to my heart, so I am grateful for this opportunity. Alongside my work as a curate in Soundwell, I go into HMP Bristol every Friday. There are many types of prisons within the UK, which are best defined by the nature of the prisoners they keep. Prisons are split into different categories, depending on the prisoners that they house. At the most serious end of the scale are Category A prisons. These hold prisoners whose escape would be highly dangerous to the public or national security. Prisoners held in Category B prisons are defined as those who do not require maximum security, but for whom escape needs to be made very difficult. HMP Bristol, previously known as Horfield Prison, is a Category B men's prison located in the Horfield area of Bristol. The prison currently holds adult males on remand to the local courts. It also holds convicted prisoners sentenced to life in prison. My day begins with a prayer in my car before I go in. Somebody says you might need that. Pray before you go into prison. My day begins with a prayer in my car. This helps me to focus on the fact that God is with me and the fact that the Holy Spirit walks with me throughout the day. Once I am in the prison, my duties consist of visiting prisoners, praying for prisoners, and providing a space for prisoners to worship God. Going into prison can be an interesting, daunting, and challenging experience. Amelia has assisted me on a few occasions, and so I would like to invite her up to share her experience of going into prison. Thanks, Amelia.
When Regan first asked me to come into prison to support him with the work he was doing there, I honestly thought he was a little bit crazy for asking me to do something like that. He came to pick me up on a Friday morning, and I remember telling him that I felt like I was going to be sick, a bit like today, actually. I had no idea what to expect, so it was a fear of the unknown. I prefer the fear of a known thing. Personally, I'm a big lover of scary movies, but I always watch the trailer beforehand, so I know what I'm up against. And let me tell you, there is no trailer for walking into a Cat B men's prison. The week before Regan asked me to go in was a normal week for me. Although I had come across a TV show on Netflix that had caught my attention, it was called Screw, and I do recommend it if anyone needs something to binge. It's about life working as a prison officer in a men's prison, and although it's a fictional show and can't be 100% accurate, it doesn't sugarcoat the things that go on in prisons and draws its inspiration from real-life stories. I actually finished the last episode on a random Saturday, and being someone who has quite vivid dreams, I ended up dreaming that I was the prison officer in the show that same night. In the dream, I was walking through the wings looking for something. When I woke up, I didn't think much of it because I have lots of dreams and most of the time I don't think they mean anything. I then went to church on the Sunday, and that is when Regan asked me to go with him. This is what really got me thinking about spiritual dynamics. Did God really have this all planned out for me? I think that's what gave me comfort in saying yes to Regan when he asked. If God had this all planned and knew this was going to happen, was he really going to let me fail? When we got there, my thoughts were going crazy and I didn't know what to think. We walked in and the first thing that happened was me setting off the alarm in the reception. But after a quick pat down, we walked up a huge flight of stairs into the chaplaincy office. I can't quite remember how the conversation went, but I know Regan told me we were going to be given some incense to some of the guys, and there were a few who asked to speak to him, so we were going to see them as well. And then we were off onto the first wing. It's hard to describe what it's like being on the wing with a load of guys who most of the time speak louder than they need to, but I remember feeling all of the uneasy thoughts and worries about outside things drift out of my head, and the noise of the keys in the door and the clanking of metal bringing me into the moment. After visiting some of the guys and handing out the incense, we did a service for a group of men, and this was my first time doing a Bible reading. Normally, I would have definitely said no to doing this, but I knew if God had planted this idea in my head and then brought me here, he could get me through this, and I did it. I don't think it was amazing, but I did it, and I didn't feel alone facing it. It even turned out to be my favorite Bible reading now. Matthew chapter 6, 28 to 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own, is a line that I really thought spoke to me. Overall, I'd say I weirdly like the chaos of the wings of HMB Bristol. Something felt right about being there. I can imagine it can really kick off sometimes, but I met some really amazing people, and it was a privilege to see the crazy journey that is life through their eyes. If I'm honest, I never used to do things that scared me because I was happy in my comfort zone, but there's a quote from Kung Fu Panda that I find really helpful. If you only do what you can do, you will never be more than who you are. Once you realize that stepping out of your comfort zone isn't going to hurt you, that is when you give God permission to do some pretty amazing things for you. And he isn't calling you to be comfortable in these situations. He's just calling you to try, and I've come to realize that that is enough. After all, God doesn't call the prepared, he prepares the called. Thank you.
Thank you, Amelia. In 1943, psychologist Abraham Maslow created a diagram of a pyramid which showed the needs of every human being. The base of the pyramid contained the basic needs of people, such as food, water, clothing, and shelter. The middle part of the pyramid contains the emotional needs of people. This consists of the need for love, care, belonging, self-esteem, and self-confidence. Our aim as chaplains or volunteers in the prison is to let the prisoners know that regardless of what they have done, they are still loved and valued. The importance of love is something that I hold close to my heart. As I think about the guys who are spending time in prison, it reminds me of the fact that I was once lost too. And it was the people around me who never gave up on me and continued to love me, which got me through that phase of my life. Love has the power to change people. Love has the power to transform lives. And this brings us to our Bible reading this morning. This morning's Bible reading from Romans chapter 8 talks about the power of God's love. It teaches us that no matter what we may face in life, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. The Life Application Bible gives a clear translation of these scriptures. Here's what it says. These verses contain one of the most comforting promises in all scripture. Believers have always had to face hardships in many forms: illness, imprisonment, even death. These hardships could cause them to fear that they have been abandoned by Christ. But Paul exclaims that it is impossible to be separated from Christ. His death for us is proof of his unconquerable love. Nothing can stop Christ's constant presence with us. God tells us how great his love is so that we will feel totally secure in him. If we believe these overwhelming assurances, we will not be afraid. The prisoners at HMP Bristol have just about reached rock bottom in their lives. A lot of them have been through prison more than once, and for some of them, prison has been a place they usually find themselves. As chaplains and volunteers, we go into prison to let these prisoners know that they are loved, that they are valued, and no matter how many times they have been arrested, they are loved by God. I believe this knowledge and acceptance of God's love holds the ability to change lives forever. Personally speaking, it is no easy task to accept that God loves you. I remember the first time coming to church and people said to me as soon as I walked in, "God loves you." And I smiled and I said, "Thank you." Inside, I was thinking, "You probably say that to every single person that comes here." And it took me a while to accept that God loves me. Past mistakes, the guilt of those mistakes that I had made, built a barrier between me and God. But it's that consistency. People telling me over and over again, "It's okay, God loves you. What you've done in the past is in the past." So to finish, I would just like to say thank you again for this opportunity and for making us feel welcome here. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. If joining our chaplaincy team at HMP Bristol is something you'd like to do, please chat to me or Amelia after our service today. We are also holding open days on the 1st of June and on the 3rd of August. Don't worry, we'll let you out after the open day is over. These open days give the opportunity to people to visit the prison and to see what it looks like. I will have flyers at the back of the church with times, dates, and contact details. Thank you very much again.
So I just want to say a massive thank you to Regan and Amelia for coming down to us today. And the thing that's really struck me is that line that Amelia shared with us. God doesn't call the prepared, he prepares the called. I wonder how many of you here today are feeling like, that couldn't possibly be me. God couldn't possibly be asking me to go and work in a prison. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't have the right gifts. I don't have a strong enough faith. I don't have enough courage. I guess there are all kinds of reasons that we could say these things disqualify me from responding to that call. But I think that it's equally the same to say that about any area of ministry, not just prison ministry, but maybe being a part of the kids team here or the youth team, volunteering to do the reading, helping with the sound desk. There are any number of roles in the life of the church community and mission that God may well be calling you to be involved. And you think, it's not me. I'm not good enough. I don't have enough love. I don't have enough faith. I don't pray enough. I'm not a good enough Christian. I'm not a good enough role model. But remember these words, God doesn't call the prepared. He prepares those he calls. And maybe God's stirring you up this morning and is placing a call on your life, possibly to be involved in prison ministry, possibly to be an evangelist in your place of work, possibly it's something else. But my question is, what is it that God's calling you to? What's he stirring up in your heart? How's he wanting you to respond this morning? Let's just take a moment or two of some space and some silence and just ask, what is it you're saying to me, God, this morning? What is it you're calling me to? What is it you want me to step into? Heavenly Father, would you pour out your Spirit upon each one of us this morning, that you might give us the courage to respond to the calling you place on our lives. Give us boldness and courage, we pray. Amen.